Thank you, Ms. Lindell. Brother Burke, could you make sure that cord is moved? I don't want anybody to trip. We're going to ask the Chitties to come up now. We want to honor them before the message tonight. And I do appreciate everybody coming and being here for the fellowship. But there are some things that we wanted to do tonight for them. And first of all, we want to, Miss Chitty is kind of stepping away from the school. We wanted to honor her and thank her for her years of service there on the mission field. And we have a gift for you. For your
thank you.
And we took a truck out for Brother Chitty, but we had talked about putting tires and things on it out there. And so we have a gift for you to make sure all those things are done. And so we want to do that for you as well.
Thank you, buddy.
We'll go ladies first. And so tonight, it is my honor as the president of Landmark Baptist College to bestow the honorary degree of Doctor of Divinity in the area of missions upon Regina Chitty. And in like fashion, we have one for an honorary degree of Doctor of Divinity in the area of missions to Dr. Don Chitty.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Oh.
Let's give him a good hand. Amen. All right. I do appreciate you being here, and you'll be able to have personal time and honor them. They have a table separated so you can go up through the fellowship and talk to them individually, but we do appreciate them. And if you'll help them back down, and then we'll have Brother Chitty, if you want, I'll take that and put it over here for you, and I'll make sure it gets over there.
Yes, sir. And,
again, 50 years on the mission field, and there's not much else I can say other than I'm so glad that the Lord has allowed me to be a part of his life and him to be our missionary and us to be put together at such a time as this in the closing hours of what I believe is eternity for people. Amen. As we close out the church age. And so I'm thankful to be able to serve with him, and he's my friend. And so, and he's our missionary. And so it's good to have him here and have him preach. You come preach to us, my brother.
Amen. Thank you, buddy. When they give your wife a doctorate and then give yourself one, that makes us a paradox. Amen. We're going to be in Numbers, please. And I'm glad you're here tonight. I really am. We're going to begin in verse 1 of chapter 16, Numbers chapter 16. I told my wife, I said, they're going to do so much tonight with everything. I'm going to preach a short sermon.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And I'd have said it louder than you did if I was up there, I guarantee it. But we got a lot going tonight, and I appreciate everything. I really, really do. You've honored us, and you've been a blessing to us, and the things that... Yeah, it's just no way of saying thank you. Thank you is not enough. You know, when you... the word charity in the Bible simply means that you get so close to God that you want to give yourself to him. It's a giving love. And then that's what you've done. I appreciate it so much. I do not have cancer, thank God. But I am coughing up the bottom half of my left lung. Okay. All right. Chapter 1 of verse 16 says, now Korah, the son of Issachar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On. Can you imagine naming your son On? Come on, On. But it's in the Bible, so it's what they named him, right? and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you. Seeing all the congregation are holy. We're perfect. Nothing's wrong with us. We're perfect. We're holy, right with God people. Listen to me. When you go against the man of God, you're not right with God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You take too much upon you. Seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even unto whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire thereon, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. It shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear I pray thee, you sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near unto himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the Lord, and to stand before the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. Father, bless this, please, now, the short time we're going to take. We just ask you to bless it. Give us something to help us. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think many times we miss the entire situation here. There was a man named Dathan and Abram. Now watch this carefully. They didn't want to take Moses' place. They just wanted Moses to do it different than he was doing it. Hello? But Korah was just the opposite. He wants to take Moses' place. Moses said, Korah, you go into the tabernacle and do the work of a priest, and you think that to be a small thing? You're serving God in that manner, and you think that's just a small thing? What he's saying to Korah is this. What you're doing, Korah, for God is just as important to God as what I'm doing for God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How many of you folks are in the music ministry, in the choir, or sing specials, or play instruments? Raise your hand. What you do is just as important as what me or anybody else does. You're going to hear some rumbling, fault finding, backbiting in any situation you're in. Music sets up the preaching.
Amen.
Amen. Someone said, well, you can't build much of a church with music. Now, let me say this back to that person. You can't build much of one without it. It soothes the soul. It gets the soul ready for preaching. If you're a Sunday school teacher, raise your hand. Keep them up unless you're ashamed of it. What you Sunday school teachers do is just as important as what my wife and I do. Amen. Amen. How many, and you don't have to, you don't have to raise your hand on this one, but think about this. When you pray for your church, for your man of God, wow, you become a prayer warrior. I'm going to be honest with you. You're not the pastor. But without you, the pastor couldn't do what he's doing. So what you're doing is just as important as what he did. Amen. Amen. Korah, I'm saying to you, what you're doing is just as important as what I'm doing. We all have a job to do for God. Amen. Every one of us. Listen carefully. If you're saved and all of a sudden it got pitch black dark in here And a light from heaven came and showed, just shined on each one of us individually. And the voice from heaven said, what are you doing for me? What is your ministry? Don't you think about, just for me to think about that. What would be your answer? What would be your answer? God himself is saying, you can't lie because it's God. And you're saying, what are you doing for me? What's your job for me? And if you can't come up with something, shame on us. Shame on us. We ought to be doing something for God. What Corinth verses 3 through 7 is saying is, you're doing it all. Hey, let me do something. But that, it's beyond that if you read it and study. It's not let me do something. It's let me be something. And Moses says, Korah, what you're doing running the tabernacle is just as important as what I'm doing. Amen. Amen. And we've got to get to that point of doing that. God's teaching here is as well as we have something to do for God. Oh, by the way, are you discontent with what God's got you doing? If you're discontent with what God's got you doing, then you're not enjoying serving God. Yeah. Watch this carefully. To think that God himself would use us. I didn't go around and count them. But they say there's over 8 billion people out here through the world. Now watch this. Over 8 billion people. And you come to a church and the preacher gets up and preaches and God cleans your clock. He knocks the bark off your tree. He steps on your toes. And you get mad. You are dumber than a day-old goat. Because to think 18 million plus and God took time out to speak to us. Man, preacher should get a neck hug. Preacher, thank you, man. When you first started that, preacher, I didn't like it. But preacher, I needed that. I needed that. Truth of the matter is we all need that. By the way, you need to quit looking at God's will for others and start looking what God's will is for you. Right. Amen. Amen. I worked for Dr. Lee Robson for a while, and his assistant pastor was Dr. J.R. Faulkner. And Dr. Faulkner wrote a book on the second man, one of the best books you'll ever read. Not everybody can be the pastor. Right. Listen to him. I'll make a statement. You'll get mad, but here it is. Ready? You either pastor a church or help someone pastor a church. Right. Amen. Amen. And that's what we got to do. We got to look at God's. You think what you're doing is a small thing. But if you're drawing people to God, it's a big thing. Amen. Yeah. Amen. In verse 3, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then, lift up you yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. I do not believe that somebody comes back on Sunday night, doesn't know this already. The man of God is to take the oversight thereof. He don't go to Brother Money Pockets and get his permission. He don't go to Sister Floppy Mouth and get her permission. He takes the oversight thereof. If you read this whole story, you know what happens to Korah? You need to be careful saying anything bad, let alone going against the man of God. Hello? And here he is doing this stuff, and he's supposed to be grateful. I'm going to say this to you. You take this any way you want to take it. Not every church has a good pastor. Not every church has a working pastor. And it's amazing to me how that many people will let the pastor preach to them, but they won't let him pastor them. Korah messed it up. And if you go to the next chapter, read on there, you're going to find out that the earth opened up and swaddled him up with all those people here that went against him. Amen. I got a summons for court one time, and it was saying that that some company had come to my place and did some work, and they wanted $3,000 for the work. They took me to court. What I did not know, stay with me, what I did not know is there was two judges in this building. One of them was the wife of the guy that was suing me. Guess who she's going to be in favor of? Amen. And I asked a lady who works there who sent out the bills and sent me the bill. And I said, ma'am, if I ever talk to you on the street, on the phone, in your office, have I ever had a conversation with you? And she said, no. I said, then why do you think you can send me a bill for something you didn't do? And we go on and on and on and on with this thing. I'm going to hurry up. 2 months later, the judge said, I think they did something at your place. I said, what if I went to your home, mowed your grass, raked the yards, trimmed the hedge, and charged you $2,000? Would you pay it? He said, nope. I didn't ask you to do it. I said, duh. Duh. Watch this carefully. 2 months exactly, that judge fell over dead. 2 months later, re-elections came up. There's no way this woman could lose. Her husband's a businessman, and she's a judge there in town. She didn't get 10% of the vote. Be careful going against the man of God. Amen. I mean, I'm talking about very, very careful. Look at Mark chapter 10 in the New Testament. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And I'm going to read to you I'm going to start reading verse 35. Watch what it says. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, grant unto us that we may set one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of? And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of. And with the baptism that I am baptized, with all you shall be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority on them. But so shall it be among you, but whosoever will be great among you, ye shall be your minister. And whosoever of you which be chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to minister unto life and rest for many. Listen, this is the same thing Cora did. I want to be somebody. Forget being pleased with what God's got me doing. I want to be somebody. I want all my, every sermon I preach, I want it in the sword of the Lord. I want people to know me. I want this, I want that. When we get to heaven, boy, if my brother was over here and I was over here right beside Jesus, we'd be somebody. Listen to me carefully. What you're doing is just as important as anyone else that's serving God. Get settled. Get busy. Do what you know to do. I'm gonna take one more place at John 19. John 19. John 19, I'm going to read 26 and 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to his disciples, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own house. Can I tell you something? My wife and I came to Claremont, Florida, loaded up my mother-in-law and took her to New Mexico and had her live in our house. My wife was crying, and she said her brother was going to take her way down south, almost 100 miles away. And my wife said, "Well, how often would you get to see her?" He said, "Maybe at Christmas." And boy, my wife just started bawling. And she said, "Is it okay if I bring my mother here?" And this is what I said. My dad had just died before that. And I told her, I said, "You don't want to look back one day and wish you'd have done something. You can do whatever you want to do." And we brought her out there. You know what we found out? When you're tending to someone with dementia, heart disease, sometimes she don't know who she is or who you are. My wife would teach school all day long and stay up all night in a chair by her mother all night long. What am I saying? I'm saying doing right is not always easy. It's not always easy. God never said it'd be easy. But I guarantee it'd be worth it one day. Listen to me, it'd be easier not to run buses. It'd be easier not to have a Christian school. But that's like telling all the kids, "Go to hell. I don't want you around here." We need to be careful. It's not about us. He must increase. I must decrease. What can I say other than what you're doing for God is just as important as what I'm doing for God. And what I'm doing for God is just as important as what you do for God. All of us should be doing something for God. And if we'll do that, we'll start reaping the benefits. Amen. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give to your bosom. We leave that last phrase out. Well, you know, if you give, you can't outgive God. The way to get is to give. You know, we know all that. We know it to be true. The first 18 years that we were on the mission field, we never passed an offering plate. And that was wrong, by the way. We never passed an offering plate. We didn't want those Indian people to think we were just there to gain. Hello. And after the 18th year, we started, we had a good crowd by then. We were passing the offering plate, taking an offering. And whatever they couldn't pay, my wife and I paid. On my 33rd year, this verse came real in my life. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men give to your bosom. Now, I know it's God, but he uses us. And in my 33 year, it was almost like God said, "Okay, you've lived without running water and electricity. Your wife has had a bad life having to live like that, raised two little boys like that. You've given, and I'm going to take care of you." After our 33rd year, we started getting meetings to go off and raise money to pay the church bills. And God's been so good. Why? I didn't want to be greater than God. I just want to be part of God's plan. Because what I was doing was just as important as what you're doing. And what you're doing for God is just as important as what I'm doing. I have no fingernails. Thank you, preacher.
An invitation. Let's stand to our feet tonight. If you're here and you need to be saved, you know you can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved tonight. We can take the Bible and show you how tonight. We'd love for you to do that, but if you're one of God's people and maybe you came in thinking, what I do for God is not important, or maybe you feel overlooked, we have a God who is righteous in heaven, who doesn't overlook the work of His choice servants of God. And it's not a title that is the measurement of importance. It's faithfulness. Tonight, the invitation is to you. What you do for God is as important as what I do for God. It's just as important what Brother Chitty does for God, whether it's prayer, the pursuit of young people on the bus routes, teaching Sunday school or singing in the choir. Whatever it is that God spoke to your heart about tonight, would you do business with Him? Would you step out and come as Brother Bert sings?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight, if you're here and you need to be saved, we'd love to open the invitation for you to step out and walk down. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home. If you're here and you're a church member tonight, boy, I tell you what a blessing it is to realize the fact that, boy, a lot of times if we're not careful, we won't account for things the right way. We'll see names and people on the platform and we'll think, boy, I wish I was doing that. But when God has us right where He wants us and we're serving at a high level, and boy, I tell you what, if we could just get back and realizing how God sees things instead of the way we measure things, boy, it would change our lives. I hope that you did what God asked you to do tonight. If you're here tonight and you need to be baptized,